So Philip is now famous in Samaria. But Jesus has another job for him. So he started a revival in Samaria. There is this incredible move. Demons are being cast out. The apostles have arrived. God is moving. What could be more important than a revival in Samaria? And the answer is one man needs to hear about Jesus Christ. That's what's more important than needing a revival in Samaria. One man needs to hear about Jesus Christ. And the economy of the world says that success is numbers. The economy of heaven is that one man would hear about Jesus Christ. So Jesus tells the story where the shepherd leaves the 99 to go after the one. That's what our God is like. He went after you. He left the others to come and chase after your life. After 3 years of ministry, Jesus leaves 12 guys, but they're going to change the world. And now Philip, the waiter on tables, the feeder of the poor, is going to release the gospel to Africa. So if you've got a Bible, find Acts chapter 8 and we'll read. And we'll read from verse 26. This is a problem with doing the service twice. I've lost my marker for Acts. Here we go. Why don't you stand? This is the word of the Lord. Now, this is Acts 8, verse 26. Now, an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, "Arise and go toward the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." This is desert. So he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasury and had come to Jerusalem to worship, was returning. And sitting in his chariot, he was reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said to Philip, "Go near and overtake his chariot." So Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, "Do you understand what you're reading?" He said, "How can I unless someone guides me?" And he asked Philip to come up and sit with him. The place in the scriptures which he read was this: "He was led as a sheep to the slaughterer, and as a lamb before a shearer is silent, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his justice was taken away. And who will declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth." So the eunuch asked Philip and said, "I ask you, of whom does the prophet say this, of himself or of another man?" Then Philip opened his mouth and, beginning at this scripture, preached Jesus to him. Now as they went down the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized?" And Philip said, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." So he commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. Now when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away, so that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, something like that, and passed through. He preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. Take a seat. So, here we have, I believe, a how-to of preaching Christ. So, is there anyone here who wants to learn how to preach Christ? Three, there should be more. It's not a trick question. We all need to learn to preach Christ. And here in the story of Philip, you've got a how-to. And the first thing I want to say is do what you're told. Okay, this is where you start. And there's going to be a map come up. Hopefully they'll leave it up. You see, so often the church makes disciples by telling them everything they can't do. But when you come to Jesus, the door opens to abundant life and you get to do the things you never dreamed of. You will go to places and meet people that will amaze you. But whatever you do, while you do it, you must preach Christ. That's our job description. You see, in the Bible, obedience is rarely doing nothing. It's more often an action or a journey. And the more important the job, the clearer the guidance. So when Philip goes to Samaria, it looks like he's following the prompting of the Holy Spirit. So persecution has arisen. And they're moving out of Jerusalem, and it's like he feels, I think I should go to Samaria. And what he does is, as he's en route to Samaria, he preaches Christ. However, because he's been faithful with a little, now he's going to be given more. So what happens now is an angel speaks to him with directions. Take the road from Jerusalem to Gaza. Did my map come up? Did I miss it? Where's my map? Is there a map? There we are. So you see the dotted red line? So that's the road that goes to Gaza, where he's going to meet the Ethiopian. And some of you will go, well, it's not fair. Angels never appear to me. Angels never tell me where to go. And what I would say in reply to that, are you faithful in the small promptiness of the Holy Spirit? Because we don't follow angels, we follow the Holy Spirit. You see, Philip is a man who obeys what the Holy Spirit says, and suddenly angels are released. You know, years ago, when I was young and handsome, I was once, because that's how I got my wife. Well, I was off to plant a church. I was 28 years old. And I've told this story before. I was walking down South in High Street, and as I was walking down the High Street, the Holy Spirit spoke to me. There was a girl busking under the railway bridge, and he said, go and ask her to lead worship for you. And I did what all you would do. I just walked straight past and went to McDonald's. now, they may not, maybe not now, all right? And I got my McDonald's, but the conviction was so strong. And so I walked back, and unfortunately, she was still there singing away. So I got some money, and because I knew it was a way to busker's heart, I gave her some money. And then I said, hey, look, excuse me, I hope you don't think this is too strange, but would you like to sing in church? And you see, I'll never forget. She looked at me and said, oh, I'd love to. Me and my friends have just become Christians, and we didn't know what we were going to do next. And that was the start of our church. That's how you church plant. And she said, would you like to meet all my friends? Well, at first she said, what church? And I said, well, that's the funny thing. We don't actually have one yet. And anybody else would have been fazed by that. But she wasn't. She was like, oh, this is great. She said, come and meet my friends. And we met our friends. And that was the birth of our church in Southend years ago. I can hardly remember. It was so long ago. But it's the promptings of the Holy Spirit. And so we're learning to obey the promptings of the Spirit. So number two, to preach Christ, take the journey with people. You see, I want you to picture this, all right, this story, because we could easily misunderstand it. This is an important guy. This is not a horse and cart. This is an S series Maybach Mercedes. He's driving. He's got security around him. Okay? There would be guards protecting him. He's the Chancellor of Ethiopia. This was not an easy ask. And I want you to see something in this story. The angel tells him where to go, but the Spirit tells him what to do. So the directions come from an angelic visitation, but the Spirit said to Philip, go near and overtake this chariot. You see, Philip's in the right place, but he doesn't actually have the ability to get to him. So he does what he can. He starts to run. And I think this is an Elijah moment. Do you remember it was Elijah who ran past Jezebel's chariot? This is a chariot that's flying through the desert, and he has to run to catch up with it. And I look, I'm a guy that I run like 100 yards and I need oxygen. All right, Juliet, she can run miles. And that's why I'm so fit, because we're married and we're one. So I've taken the fitness part. All right, so I don't have to run, but you know, I don't know what Philip was doing. You know, but so he has to run as fast as this chariot is going. And I would say to you, you know, that all the miracles, sometimes we read the miracles in the Old Testament, you go, they're for the Old Testament. No, they're all for the New Testament. They're for all of us to do. In the Old Testament, they were isolated incidences. In the New Testament, they're for the church. This should be the normal life. And you know, when we go ahead, things may seem impossible, but you have to run. You see, so often we approach faith is, well, I'll just take a few steps. That's not faith. Faith is when you run into something because you know it's the Lord. And you know, nothing's gonna stop you. So if you're gonna tell people about Jesus, you'll need to run alongside them. You'll need to make the journey with them. You know, sometimes the journey's long. Sometimes it's difficult, but you have to stay close to them. And Philip is running alongside this chariot. I don't even know if he can breathe. You know, and he hears him reading Isaiah. And these verses in Isaiah 53 for Philip are like John 3:16 for us. Okay, he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opened not his mouth. He's talking about Jesus. In his humiliation, his justice was taken away. And who will declare his generation? For his life was taken from the earth. And this is interesting. Philip says, do you understand what you're reading? He asks a question. And the eunuch says, how can I unless someone guides me? In fact, I think Philip may have more of put, do you understand what you're reading? He's running alongside a chariot. He's banging up the door of the Mercedes saying, open, download the window with all the security closing in on him. This is the picture of what, this is why he's left a revival in Samaria, and now he's going to lead one man to Jesus. And the eunuch says, well, how can I understand unless someone explains it to me? And the other thing I want you to see, each one of us is a signpost to Jesus for people. And you don't, I'm jumping ahead of myself. And so he says, would you join me and answer my questions? And the answer, Philip said, of course I want to get in. I don't want to spend all day running along here. And I want to say to you, I would much prefer answering people's questions and talk about their problems. We spend way too much time talking about people's problems and not enough time answering their questions. Jesus is the answer to your life. If things are going wrong in your life, he is the answer. But you've got to ask the questions, not talk about the problem. And then the third thing I want to say is that preaching Christ involves answering these questions and starting where they are and bringing them to Jesus. You see, the secret of preaching Christ is starting where people are and guiding them to Jesus. We take them on a journey. Billy Graham, when he trained his Bible students, there's a Billy Graham, the Billy Graham organization that trains evangelists. And the way he would train his preachers, he would say, go into a cafe and listen to what everyone's talking about on each table. So all the things they're discussing, listen to their questions, and then when you preach, answer them. You see, most people have been trained in seminary. Wrong. They're asking the wrong questions. Go into Costa Coffee, Starbucks, Cafe Nero, wherever you drink coffee, and just sit there. I mean, don't do it obviously, right? You're going to get arrested. But just make notes. Just make notes. What are the different people talking about? Just ear whip. You know, and if you can't hear, move closer. Because they might ask, what do you think you're doing? Oh, I'm just listening into your conversation so I can make a few notes. It's homework from church. No, don't say that. Now I'm just listening so that I can give you the answer to the questions that you're asking about your life. Because that's what Jesus did for me. You see, I can just see Philip sitting in the back of the S-Class talking to this official, saying, the man you're reading about was Jesus Christ. You've just been in Jerusalem. That's what Jerusalem is in uproar about. He's been crucified. He was crucified for the sin of the world. And this is who the prophet was talking about. And I think he probably just opened up Isaiah and just simply explained, Mr. Eunuch, this is your life. And this is the sin of your life that has separated you from God. This is everything you've ever done and everything you ever will, and this is Jesus. And Jesus has died on the cross for you. And I think he went back a few verses to verse 4 and said, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for your transgressions. He was bruised for your iniquities. The chastisement for your peace was placed upon him at the cross. And by his stripes, Mr. Eunuch, you are healed. All of us, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned, every single one of us, and gone our own way and done our own thing. So the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Where's your sin now? It's on Jesus Christ. What's stopping you having relationship with heaven? Nothing. You see, I think he then moved on to John 3:16. And he looked him in the eye and he said, God so loved this world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. He did not send his son into the world to condemn. We're seeing a move of God here, and we're seeing many come to faith, and we're seeing people healed. Is that revival? And I think it's the start of revival. But I want you to know, the next thing the Lord is going to do in this church is he's going to stir our hunger to a point where it's at a frenzy. And that whenever you hear the story I just told, you'll be on your chairs, standing, shouting, screaming because of the victory of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what happens in revival, okay? And I'm telling you, that's the thing that's coming, that whenever we hear the gospel, because the gospel of Jesus, what is there to stop me being baptized? And again, Philip's checking him out. He says, well, if you believe with all your heart, you may. Don't just get baptized. Don't just do it because it's something to do. If you're going to follow Jesus for the rest of your life and you believe with all your heart, you see, and he says, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. What is that Jesus is God? Because this is a city full of other religions. This is the most religious city in the country. And there is only one God. Allah is not the true God. The Hindu gods are not the true God. The Sikh gods are not the true God. Jesus was real. I am the way, he says. So when we lead people to Jesus, we're saying, what is Jesus Lord of your life? And when people say, and I know, especially when we're leading Hindu people to Jesus, that's a big deal. Because it's really easy to put Jesus on the shelf and go, he's one of my other gods. And if these fail me, maybe he will help me. That's not it. They are dumb idols. There is only one God. And you don't put Jesus on a shelf, he comes into your heart, okay? So, if you're gonna follow Jesus, your life stops. And what this official does is he stops the car. And he gets that in front of all the officials. That's why it's so important to come forward and publicly declare your faith. He does it in front of them all. And he gets out and he is baptized. And you know, coming to faith involves three things. Repent, be baptized, be filled with the Holy Spirit, Peter says. Repent, change the direction of your life. Everything's about to change for this guy. Be baptized for the forgiveness of your sin. Everything you've ever done, everything you're ever going to do is left in the waters of baptism. If you've given your life to Jesus, you haven't been baptized yet. 2 weeks, bank holiday weekend, we're baptizing some more people in the evening service. And be filled with the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that transforms our life. And the last thing, we're almost done. Leave them with their dependence upon Jesus, not you. And I love this part of the story. They go down in the water and Philip take, they, you know, we baptize people. You know, we grab them and we put them down and baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And down they go and we bring them up. And as he comes up out of the water, I mean, I don't know what it looked like, but Philip's just like, shoosh, straight, he's gone. That's the way to get saved. Yet that, there are two things that Philip is like Elijah. He runs as fast as chariots and he's transported in the spirit. That's what happens to Elijah. You know, I was reading that. I'd never thought about this before. And it says the eunuch went on his way full of joy. That's how you're meant to leave this place when you give your life to Jesus. And Philip is found. It's a place called Azotus or somewhere like that. I don't know how you pronounce it. Some of you scholars may know. And then it's really interesting. Then what he does is he just does what he does. It says, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. He's a preacher of Christ. And we pick up his story in Acts 21. We'll get there later. And where he's now known as Philip the Evangelist, has four daughters that prophesy and is working with the man who killed his best friend. The grace of God. You see, when you come to Jesus, you start waiting on his table. But if you are faithful and obedient with the small things, he will take you to light the fires of revival, to run with chariots, to guide the rich and influential, and to literally soar on wings like eagles. And when you look back at your life, when you're old like me, you'll see what you were for. You might not know what you're for right now. And in Philip's case, it was an evangelist. You see, I know we're not a gambling bunch, but I want to make a bet with you, all right? I bet that when Philip started off waiting on tables, he had no idea what God was going to do in his life. And I bet he said things like, well, I'm just a guy and I don't know much what I'm going to do in my life. I'm just going to, but I can feed the poor and I can serve at the Lord's table. I don't know what else I'm going to do, but I can do that. But because of his obedience, Africa receives the gospel. And today, there are 718 million Christians in Africa for one man's obedience. You know, today you might go, well, I'm just this, I'm just that. But if you will learn to preach Christ and walk with the Holy Spirit, you will look back in your life and see what you're really for. You know, look, I really believe this. Everyone has something amazing to do for Jesus. Everyone. But many of us will not see the full outcome until we're in glory. You see, Philip had no idea how the story of his obedience was going to unfold until he appeared in glory of Jesus and the Lord said, hey, Phil, well done, good and faithful servant. Here's 718 million converts because of one act of obedience. Well done, good and faithful servant. All because he preached Jesus. Okay, is there anyone here who wants to learn to preach Jesus?
Good. This is our job description. This is what we're called to do.